kind of makes it all make sense for me. That the pain of my past, all of the drug abuse, all the lying, cheating, and manipulating, all the pain I caused others, all the running and the hiding, that today I can be a wounded warrior for somebody else and hopefully walk with someone in their darkest time, because I've been there.
Hey, I'm Danny. You may be tuning in today wondering, why are we talking about this? Well, here at The Most High Show, we are passionate about having real conversations about real struggles that we all go through. We really believe in the power of Me Too, just having someone come alongside of you and realizing you're not alone in what you're going through.
What's wrong with sleeping around? I mean, you know, one of the comments he said, if there's two humans, if there was only two humans on the earth, they would end up having sex. Mm-hmm. So what's wrong with it? Other than the, and I know this might be a hard place, because as Christians, we have this, I guess, instructions on how to live morally. And it makes sense to me now. It's really hard to explain to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Without sounding like, you know, I'm morally superior.
Yeah, it
is. Because I'm not morally superior.
Imagine if you had a reverend in front of your name. It'd really cripple you.
Right. So how do you, I mean, well, the reason why you're here is because sitting down with you, we've had lunch, we've hung out, and you're real. I mean, you're down to earth, you're real, you're the salt of the earth. And that's what we need. We need more men of God like you who are willing to say, I'm gonna get in the trenches with you. I'm not gonna look at you crazy. I'm not gonna take this moral high ground on you. I'm gonna help you through it. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about all these issues and you're talking about the process, some people are gonna say, well, that's my process. If it's not hurting anybody, then what's wrong with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, he really makes a really good point. And instead of talking in hypotheticals or philosophical, I'd rather talk in real life what really happens. And in my world, I don't tell people, you shouldn't do this, you know, bad you, you're not married, yeah. And you're single and you're out there having right. sex with other single people, bad person. I've never told anybody that.
Right.
I deal with people who have experienced so much pain from it
yeah.
that I'm on the other end of that.
Yeah.
Helping them kind of recover their life, be reconciled to God, yeah. understand that if Jesus was the only man, and we believe this, that ever perfected living, mm-hmm. why would I not follow his teachings?
Right.
Versus my own philosophical slant on things.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to assume that if one man perfected living,
yeah.
he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And what he said was, he gives us, you know, the 10 values in the Sermon on the Mount that we should live our life by. I think I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to live out those values. Some of them effectively, some of them ineffectively, but I'm going to, that's my goal, that's my pursuit. But I deal with so many people, Christian, who have been burned by sex, have yeah. been, sex has, you know, the abuse of sex has destroyed their family, has, you know, one of the places that, you know, the best place for a sex addiction therapist to market?
Well, the church?
No, I mean, yeah. No, because everybody's acting like it doesn't happen in the church.
Right.
Gynecologist office, OBGYN.
Really?
Yeah.
You got your face in some
isn't that
gynecology
interesting?
Office?
Put your card. Well, because what happens is she has this rash. Mm. And either she realizes I got this because I've been acting out sexually, or I've only been faithful to my husband.
Ooh.
What is this all about? Mm. And this 15-year secret life he was living.
Cheater's nightmare.
Exactly. And yeah. so it's interesting that now that couple, there's no philosophical conversation happening with this couple.
Yes.
There's only pain. There's anger, there's rage, there's disappointment, there's fear, there's all these things. So I really don't even have time to talk to the single guy who wants to have sex with other single girls
yeah.
about the moral high ground of that.
Right.
Because I'm too busy doing triage with people who felt the pain of sex. So right. Jesus really did know what he was talking about.
Imagine a heart surgeon performing heart surgery on his own heart. He knows how to cut through the chest cavity. He knows how to open it up and where all the valves are and how to get in there and do his own thing. But certainly, he wouldn't perform heart surgery on himself. I think sometimes we, when it comes to matters of the heart, try and perform surgery on ourselves. We don't want to let anyone in. We don't want to let people know, I'm dealing with this, I'm going through it. Maybe it's shame, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's pride, but for whatever reason, we don't invite someone in. Take it from me, I've experienced the most victories in my life when I have openly confessed my faults to another person who is able to handle it. Another heart surgeon, so to speak. Be encouraged today to live and grow with the Most High.
Just when you mention that idea of unhealthy versus healthy and, you know, toxic, all of that, I remember at one point when me and my husband were just dating and I, you know, finally like came to terms with the fact that I actually loved him, because it was like a struggle for me to even like acknowledge that I would allow that level of vulnerability in my life.
Right.
You know, to allow someone to love me and let me love them. I remember at one point thinking about, okay, I might really like this guy, I might really love this guy, I might really want to be with this guy, but how can we be together? Like, we haven't gone through any drama. Like, that was like the criteria. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, we haven't had a serious fight, like, we haven't tried to maybe fight each other. Like, this is, how do I know we can stand the test of time if we haven't had this turmoil in our relationship? And it's like, when you start developing unhealthy and toxic relationships with just pain, you know, like that you find definition and value in being able to endure pain.
Yeah,
that's
a badge of honor.
Yeah, exactly.
Like especially in the Christian world, it is like I can carry the weight.
Yeah,
and then just be like, oh, it's too easy. It can't be good.
And that's
that's.
It's weird how the pain and the toxicity of certain relationships with anything, hey, you kind of can get comfortable with that.
Oh yeah.
Right? It becomes the norm.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The you find function in dysfunction.
Yeah. You're the doctor of forgiveness? I don't know.
Okay. I'm not sure about the doctor.
The sage of forgiveness?
The patient.
The patient of forgiveness.
Absolutely. But the ability to share with others the power found in the freedoms found of forgiveness.
Right.
And it's not just the forgiveness itself. I always like to talk about the freedoms found in forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's really what my story and my mission is all about.
Yeah. Can you share your story and your testimony in 2 minutes?
I can try.
All right.
The short version is, just got a wonderful life. I got a wonderful, beautiful wife and children, been big brother to 2 kids for 28 years, traveled the world. I've dined in the UAE at the palace with His Excellency, and just in 2011, inducted in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a top fan of the game, Pro Football's ultimate fans. But a lot of people don't realize that when I was younger, I lived homeless in the streets for almost a year. And eating out of dumpsters, and know what it's like to dig in there and dig through the top and try and find that good stuff that's in the middle, so you don't want what's on the edge or on the top with my brother and the soup line in downtown LA. And I have good memories of it because it was actually better than what I grew up with in Detroit, in a house that my dad, like many other stories that you've heard, alcoholic, but my dad was also abusive. He physically and sexually abused my older brothers. Pure chaos in the house. There was a lot of fighting going on, a lot of attempted suicides. My bedroom door had bumper stickers on it to hide the holes in it from brothers coming at me with a bowling ball or a bat or other stuff. So it was just pure chaos. And as a result of that, my brothers, three older brothers, all went through worse than what I did as the youngest. I remember my one older brother at age 11 showing me his needle to scare me never to do drugs. Or so many other events. As a result, the oldest brother, full of anger, his whole life about what occurred.
Yeah.
My next older brother, roughly 30 years ago, took his own life and called me while he's in the process of doing it. Mm-hmm. And then one brother who's paranoid schizophrenia chooses not to take meds because when he does, it takes him right back mm-hmm. to what my dad was doing to him at age 12. Mm. So my story is one of forgiveness, of instead of carrying all the right in the world to carry around that baggage, to let it go.
Okay.
Now to share that, if I may, I'd like to share my dad's story.
Okay.
My dad's story is this. My dad was a monster, should have been thrown away in jail for the rest of his life. But age 65, my dad turned his life around. Mm-hmm. Came to know the Lord.
Okay.
Sobered up and turned his life around. Mm-hmm. The last 23 years of his life, my dad, the monster, turned into the most wonderful, loving human beings you'll ever meet. He met you in the grocery store, said, I'll pray for you. He wrote your name down, and when by the time he passed away, his list was forever. When he passed away, I was with him the last couple of days. We laughed. Dad, you're the prayer warrior. In a couple days, you're going to be right there with Jesus. Let's handwrite it out. And we handwrote out that prayer list. Only I said, I want my name on the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And he hand carried that up to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've had two dads, one that was a monster, and one I'm looking up to and want to be like.
Father, we thank you right now for this day, for this is the day you have made. We're going to rejoice, be glad in it. We ask you, Lord, to go before us as we go and just knock on doors and invite people to church. And
that you're leading is wrong. You know it's wrong. But he can make you happy. You're not a bad man.
So, in your opinion, is it harder to be a Christian in prison or out of prison?
It's difficult to serve God in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, because especially if you're raised in that culture.
Yeah.
You know, and I was raised with the gangs and all that. And so for me to state that I'm going to be a Christian now, you know, and I'm not going to stab nobody, and I ain't going to run no drugs for you, or I'm not going to do it. You're risking.
Yeah.
You're always risking that they're not going to like it.
But and you had a situation like that where you had to actually tell somebody, I'm not going to
do that. When I went to Chino, right, which is a guidance center, that's when I rededicated my life back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I had been away for like 3.5 years. And so as soon as I did that, I worked the kitchen, which the guys in the kitchen were the only ones that could go up and down the tiers, like 3 tiers in that prison. They were, you know, free to do that.
Yeah.
So everything that needs to be done from the guys, it was us that we used to do it. Like, run this, take that to another cell. And I just came back and I read, the first thing I read was, don't be afraid of him that could kill your body, but be afraid of him that could kill your body and your soul. And so I was going, I get it.
Yeah.
I know what I had to do.
Yeah.
So on the bottom tier, it was these guys from the mafia. Mm-hmm. And then it was guys from the Aryan Brotherhood. And it was an overflow from the Palm Hall. Anyway, it's a long story, but so all these guys are in the bottom tier. And so I had to go. I knew what I had to do. So I was taking a chance, a risk.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't like Bruce Lee or Kung Fu or, you know what I mean? I was just a regular convict. So I had to go to each one of these guys and tell them. And this is what I told them. I said, hey, I just rededicated my life to the Lord. He says, and I can't run. I ain't gonna run. No, I'm not running no knives, no shanks, no, you know, I'm not running no kites. Kite mm-hmm. is a little note that can get people killed.
Yeah.
And so I'm not running no dope, no rigs, nothing like that. He says, I'll run coffee, sandwiches, letters,
right,
all the normal stuff, but the other stuff, I can't do it.
Wow.
I won't do it. And so I was taking a risk that we're going to say, hey, you know what, forget you, man, you're going to do what we tell you, know.
Right.
Because they run that prison. And they all kind of, you know, I knew it was God's favor, though.
Right.
Because each one that I told the same thing to, they just looked at me. They go, orale, or all right, like that. So I went to the next one, right? And this guy had a big old spider on his forehead, big old dude, man, you know?
Yeah.
I told him, you might understand. I said the same thing to him. He looked at me. All right.
So
I surprised me, right? So I went to the next one, all the way down about 10 cells. They all said the same thing.
Wow.
That's when I knew it was the Lord had kind of closed the mouth of the lions, you know, like, so to speak. Like,
yes.
And that only go like this, and then, you know, what, you hit the chest and then what?
What do you understand what it means to give your heart to Jesus just to love
you? You know I spoke Spanish, huh? Hey, Jesus did it the same way. He's the one that showed us how to do it. He went from house to house. He went down the villages. He went everywhere. And so we do the same thing. We just go different neighborhoods that we believe. Like this area right here, this is Oildale. This is like a rough area. So, you know, I think that's where the Lord would be at. So that's where we're at. We don't come to, we go where the pizza man don't go.
So this is the Most High Show with real people and real stories of hope. We address the mess, and if you'd like to be our guests or help in any way, contact us.